Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, you know, people, we want to, we have to remember to keep our brothers and sisters in Christ in prayer around the world. 35 more were martyred, I think, this morning or yesterday, whichever it was. I caught the end of the news article over, I believe it was Afghanistan, I'm not sure. But we need to hold up the body of Christ right now around the world that's being martyred. We need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ enough to want to pray for them. It starts here. It starts with you and I desiring to pray rather than just say, oh, that's too bad. Or I'm glad I don't live over there. Lord help them. No, we need to get on our knees and cry out to God for our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. They are being martyred for the cause of Christ. And we need to never, ever take that for granted in this nation, because this nation is changing. Should Jesus tarry and he doesn't intercede in what's happening right now in this country, we're heading for some very serious times. And we don't know what's going to happen. We better learn that we need to get on our knees. The church needs to wake up. They need to wake up, and we need to be in prayer, serious prayer to our Heavenly Father. And we need to repent as a church for our lack of, and be ready, because we don't know what's going to hit this country. And it's happening fast. Things are changing on a daily basis. You hear it on the news. You hear things that are happening in our country, how Christians are getting under persecution in different areas of businesses that they are in right now, too. It's coming slow. That's just a slow, subtle way of coming in here. They're right on our borders. I heard ISA is right on our borders in Texas right now. There's plans being made to infiltrate this country even more and more. They're already here. God's people better. We better repent, people. I'm not impressed with all the entertainment junk going on. We need to be crying out to our Creator. I don't want that persecution here, but if that's what God is going to allow to wake the church up, it's going to happen. But we need to be ready as a church, don't we? I tell you what, this church, no matter what happens, this church can fill up overnight. And I'm not going to do it. God is. And that's why we need to be out there handing out tracts. We need to be evangelizing. We need to be sharing our witness with other people. We need to fire God in our spirits. We need the joy of the Lord in our spirits, that when we go out, that we go out because we want to. We want to win people for Jesus. Amen? Amen. That's what we need to do. I don't want to entertain them to bring them in here, although I did think of a cool way to do it. Just put a sign out in the road, "Are you hungry and thirsty?" and leave it there. Food always draws people, doesn't it? And then we'll give them the Word of God. But I tell you what, people, I'm serious. I want to challenge you to be in prayer during the week. If you're able to do that, remember to pray for this nation. Remember to pray for Israel right now. And remember to pray for those that are being persecuted and martyred around the world. We need to do it. God sees and He hears. And where are the people? Even the Christians overseas are saying, where are our brothers and sisters? What are they doing in the United States? They need to hear a shout. They need to know that there's people praying and screaming out and standing in the gap for them to encourage their hearts. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, we again come before you in Jesus' name. And Lord, again, we thank you for this new day. We praise you for it, for it is the day that you made, Lord, and above the clouds the sun is shining. Yes. And we're excited because we know the sun, S-O-N, is shining today in the hearts of your people, Father. And Lord, we commit this day to you. We would ask that the Holy Spirit would move supernaturally amongst us this day. And Lord, if there be someone even outside these doors right now, that you would send them in here. And Lord, if there be somebody out there today when we leave these walls, that you would send us to them. And Father, we would ask you to always convict our hearts, to be on fire, to be ready to give answers should someone ask. And Lord, we ask that you would put a burning and a joy and an excitement in our spirits to be men and women of God. And we praise you, We thank you and we commit this message to you today, Lord, and would ask that you would move through your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would speak into the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Look at somebody and say, I'm really super glad you're here today. I'm super glad you're here today. Praise the Lord. I'm excited about Jesus. Hallelujah. Portrait of the blood. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, if you brought your Bibles. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul. The blood. The blood carries water and nourishment to every cell. And it maintains the body's temperature, and it removes the waste material of the body's cells. The blood also transmits the very breath of life. We didn't know the blood has got so much importance, did we? And it carries the oxygen from the lungs throughout the body to all of its cells. Just think of that, what the blood is doing while we're sitting here right now, keeping us alive, amen? See, this relatively modern scientific insight, it merely confirms that God revealed this thousands of years ago. Without blood, there cannot be life in the physical body. And that's just as true with the Bible. You know, somebody once said that if you cut the Bible, it's going to bleed. If you cut the Bible, it's going to bleed. The blood is in here. And there's churches, pastors that say they don't want to preach on the blood anymore because it'll upset people. And they don't want to hear it. But I tell you, without the blood, people, we're lost. The blood is spoken of 447 times in the King James Bible. Now, all the modern translations, you'll have to look it up yourself. I did some of them. It's not that many times. A lot of the modern translations have removed blood from different portions of their Bibles. But I'll let you take care of that. I did. I like the King James. It's got the most in there. It didn't remove any. See, without the blood, the gospel is dead, and we are deprived of eternal life. Jesus said in Matthew 26 and 28, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins." And then he said, Paul added in Hebrews chapter 9, 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission." See, it was not Jesus' death for our sins that was the redemption price for our salvation. But it was without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. His shed blood. He also explained in Colossians chapter 1, verses 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. You can also find that in Ephesians 1:7. Then John agreed with Peter and Paul, and he wrote in 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light," did you hear that? "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." If we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and his blood cleanses us from all sins. It's a continuous cleansing. The blood is powerful. It's continuous. See, the early church understood the blood. The 22 sermons recorded by the four preachers in the book of Acts all give the same message: the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They understood that his death and the provision of the blood was the essential ingredient of the gospel. Can you see the portrait of the blood? It's hard to see blood internally, isn't it? It's hard to see it. To make it external, it hurts. You're going to have to cut or injure yourself. But the Bible paints in a broad stroke the blood on a canvas, and then in minute detail, God works, breaks it down to the cellular level, the importance of the blood of Christ, what the importance of it is. We can see this today, but even more important is that God sees the blood applied to our lives and passes over us. Isn't that amazing? God sees his blood over those that are his, and he passes over us. Let's put the blood of Christ under a biblical microscope and do some forensic study, then we'll get the complete picture. A portrait of the blood. Number one, in analysis, the blood is perfect. It's perfect. The virgin birth of Christ established his righteousness. Judas cried out, "I have betrayed innocent blood." Paul explained, "For he," which is God, "have made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." It's Jesus' righteousness that gets me to heaven, not anything I do. It's his righteousness. John 18:38, Pilate said unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." That's out of Pilate's lips. Jesus himself said in John 8:46, "Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me?" Jesus said that. See, he was sinless. That's what God intended for you and I to be at the beginning, is sinless. But Jesus is sinless. Even though there's different things happening in our church religious world today where they're trying to say that Jesus did have sin. I can't remember the percentage that I heard the week ago on the radio about how many Christians believe that Jesus sinned. I think it was like 51%, but you can correct me on that. I don't mind. I'm kind of trying to come from memory on that, but I believe it was 46 or 51%, one of those figures I believe it was, that people who say they're Christian believes that Jesus sinned. And he was spoken of in Hebrews chapter 7, 26, "For as such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." See, the only one that can be higher from the heavens is Jesus, because he created heaven. He's the only one, but he's higher than the heavens. He's sinless and he's harmless and he's holy. He's pure. He's righteous. We need to remember that, don't we, people? Again, in 1 Peter 2:20, I'm going to give you several scriptures today because it's the word of God that changes us. Isn't that true? This is a Bible church. It's not a bless me club. Lord, what do you got for me today? But what can we give God? Amen. It's the word of God. We want to honor him through his word because through his word, when we give out the word, it comes back and blesses us. Again, Peter in chapter 2, verses 22 says, "Who did no sin." How much sin?
No.
"Neither was guile found in his mouth." See, in order to die for sins, our Lord Jesus could do no sin at all on his own. He couldn't. It wouldn't have done any good for him to die for us or be on the cross. And then John the Beloved testified in 1 John 3:5, "And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." God confirms his word with his word. See, a natural father would have imparted the sin nature of Adam to Christ, and his death would not have been provided, would not have provided redemption at all. The virgin birth is absolutely essential to the salvation of our souls. And there's a certain percentage of Christians who don't believe that anymore either. Satan does his work. Don't ever take him for granted. He's a lot smarter than we are and stronger than we are. And a lot of people are being duped and deceived by him and his cohorts. But the Bible clearly teaches that Jesus was born of a virgin and did not have original sin. And then Matthew quotes Isaiah in chapter 1:23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God's word said it. I believe it. Jeremiah the prophet had spoken years before this, and he said in chapter 31:22, "How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man." That was a new thing, wasn't it? A virgin given birth without a man to get a child. That's a new thing, I would call it. A miraculous conception of a promised Savior is what the Word of God tells us. The Adamic nature is passed to the offspring by the bloodline of the man. There were no impurities in the blood of Christ. None. Everything about Christ was perfect, including his blood. Number two, in application, the blood is pure. It's pure. People, we have to be so careful today because even Christians are being deceived with all the stuff that's happening today. And pretty soon, you start to think, am I wrong? You ever do that sometimes? Am I going around? Am I being too Bible? Am I being too religious? Am I being too whatever? Well, I just read how Carrie Underwood is supporting homosexual lifestyle. But she professes the name of Jesus. I'm not going to say possess because I don't know her heart, but she does profess the name of Jesus. But how can you do that when God specifically speaks against it in his word? But see, it's happening in such many realms. You can even go into evangelical churches, and a lot of this stuff you hear in the world is accepted in churches today. That's why we have to be careful. That's why churches like this, and there's a lot of them like this one too, all around this state and around the country, that preaches the Word of God. They're not as popular. But we're not after popular, are we? There were no impurities in the blood of Christ. One of the reasons we use grape juice in our communion service instead of wine is because wine has to go through a process of fermentation, which is the process of decay. The process of the fermentation is actually bacteria working in the juice. It is a decaying process. And this could never give a proper picture of the sinless blood of Christ. For all that is holy, Satan has a counterfeit. Did you know that? He can't create like God can, but he will try to counterfeit anything that God does. And Satan has his counterfeits, and communion is no exception. Pure grape juice is the true symbol of the pure blood of Jesus, just as the bread is to be without leaven. It's interesting also that the term wine is never used at the Lord's Supper. And you can find that three times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's never, ever used wine. Three times, fruit of the vine is used. The word cup is used 12 times, but it is never called wine in the scriptures. The writer of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. I want to note here, the reference is here about the Trinity that I just read. Did you know that? The Trinity, the blood of Christ through the eternal Spirit offered to God. The Trinity. See, the shedding of animal blood on an altar in sacrificial atonement was simply a covering. In Hebrew, that's kaphar, for human sin. See, it was temporary means of showing faith in God's promised redemption. This was necessary until the coming of Christ, as it is written in John chapter 1, 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That was one sacrifice forever. God didn't come to cover our sins up. It says that Jesus, the Lamb of God, came, he taketh them away. He taketh them away. Praise the Lord. Again in John 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us." It cleanses us from all sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. We need to speak the blood of Jesus over our lives, people. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, 18, 19, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Sometimes we as Christians have to remember we don't go to heaven because we're nice. We don't go to heaven because we come to church, we pay our tithes, we remember to greet somebody. We don't go to heaven if we come to church and our mouth is curved down instead of up. That doesn't tell us we get to go or not go to heaven. We go to heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we go. And because it's pure, it's purifying. The pure, precious blood of Jesus. Number three in action, the blood is perpetual. The animal sacrifices of the Old Testament were continuous year after year. The blood of bulls and goats provided forgiveness and pardon temporarily only because it pointed to the sacrifice of Christ and his blood, which taketh away the sin of the world. Again, the writer of Hebrews speaks in chapter 7, verse 27, "Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first to his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he," Jesus, "he did once when he offered up himself." One time, the multitudes and multitudes of sacrificial animals before Jesus. And Jesus comes in but once. His death, the shedding of his blood on Calvary's cross for the sin of the world. And again, Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Jesus did it. We have eternal redemption through Jesus by his blood. Then again, Hebrews 9, 26, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Jesus did that. Once. The Bible states in Hebrews 10, 12, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." Jesus did. Jesus did, people. See, the death of Christ set into motion a continuous cleansing for those who trust in him. You and I, if we possess Jesus, we have a continuous flow of that blood over us. Continuous. We need to remember that. Thank God we are washed once and for all forever. The Bible speaks in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, people. The everlasting covenant. Our faith in his blood is all it takes to settle it forever and ever. Do you put your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ? Number four, in accomplishment, the blood is powerful. The songwriter wrote, "Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood." Did we sing that one today? Thank you, Amy. Thank you, choir. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There is power in the blood. Would you over evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Do you need victory today? Do you need victory in your life? You need to speak of the blood. You need to sing of the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to be in the Word of God and reading about the blood of Christ. If you need victory in your life, Satan doesn't like the blood. Satan doesn't like the resurrection. Satan doesn't like the virgin birth. He's defeated, but especially that blood. It's the blood that cleanses you and I from all unrighteousness. It's the blood that as you and I walk and say, God, guide my footsteps today. Lord, guide the way I'm thinking in my thoughts today. Lord, guide my attitude. Lord, let the blood be applied to my mind and my heart and the way I live my life. God will do a work within you and accomplish the things that he wants to in your life and my life. We're told in Revelation chapter 12 and 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. I think it's interesting that this is the last reference in the Bible to the blood of the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God. It's the last reference. It is very appropriate because the emphasis is on his power for overcoming Satan in this final hour to destroy the work of God. In salvation. That's his purpose. That's what he wants to do. But it's the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony of us that we are overcomers. Are you speaking the blood of Christ in your home, over your family, over your health, over every situation in life, over your life? And when you see yourself and you know there's something in your life that needs to be repented of, are you taking the blood of Jesus that he's given you and saying, Lord, apply the blood and wash it away? Amen? Praise the Lord. He'll make you white. He won't see the darkness of sin. The blood of Jesus washes it clean and white as snow. It takes a lot of power to do that too. False religions has always denied the blood and its power. Mary Baker Eddy of the Christian Science Movement wrote, "The material blood of Jesus is no more efficacious to cleanse from sin when it was shed up on the cursed tree than it was flowing through his veins." R.B. Thyme, a Bible teacher in Texas, declared, "The red liquid that ran through the veins and arteries of Jesus' mortal body is not related to our salvation." A Bible teacher. But did you know that the blood of Jesus can wash him clean when he repents? The very thing he mocks, the very thing the cults mock, Jesus can make clean. That's why if you ever get in a witnessing situation and they're just really obstinate and really hard, I did that with a person one time with foul mouth and the whole nine yards. I didn't get offended by it one bit because every time he would finish, I would say to him, "And the blood of Jesus Christ will wash you clean of that too." And then he'd say something more foul, and I'll say, the blood of Jesus Christ will wash you clean from that. Pretty soon he couldn't take it anymore. It wasn't me. It's by what I was telling him, the word of God, the blood of Jesus Christ will wash him clean of the very filth that was spewing out of his mouth. It's the blood of Jesus, people. There's so much power in the blood. And it's still today. It's still today. It's still today. And of course, these teachers and many like them stand in complete opposition to the Bible. It says in Revelation 5:9, and they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and has redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hallelujah! It's by the blood of the Lamb. It's by the blood of the Lamb. See, the redemption price was paid long ago, people. It was paid long ago on the cross. And we will it will be complete when Satan is cast out. And Christ Jesus takes full possession. It'll be complete. And then the acquittal, the blood is permanent. Acquit is a heavy word. It means payoff, to free, to clear, to absolve. It has a far-reaching meaning extending from the past all the way to the future. O.J. Simpson was acquitted of murder, wasn't he? You remember that deal, some of you? And it can never come back on him in a court of law, ever. He was acquitted. Not even new evidence can be presented. You say, but I don't believe justice was done. I didn't either. But you and I are guilty, and we know it, and we don't want justice. You and I, we want mercy, don't we? That's what we want. We want mercy. And we need it to be permanent, don't we? We need it permanent. Sins forgiven and forgotten. How many want your sins forgiven and forgotten for all eternity? Some of you don't. Okay. I do. The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Do you cry that out to Him in prayer? Do you say, Lord, Your mercies are new every morning. I need to walk in those mercies today. They're there ready for you and I every single morning. Not only our past sin was taken away, but also our present and our future sins are put under the blood when we trust in Christ our Savior. Jesus' blood cleanses us from our past sins. Isaiah 44:22 says, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then David spoke when he said in Psalms chapter 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Jesus did that. You ever try to make east touch west? Our sins were put away, our transgressions through Jesus. That's the Lord's promise. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Did you hear that, people? Doesn't that get you excited? I get excited. The devil's making accusations about you before the throne of God. But you know something? God doesn't remember those past sins. They're gone. Why do we want to bring them up? I am amazed how many Christians want to talk about their past and the filth they lived in, even as testimonials. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Somebody wants my testimony. I say, I was a sinner. I don't want to tell God what I did again. He wouldn't remember it anyway. But why do it? Why not encourage them to come to Jesus and let their sins be washed away? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we praise You. We thank You for that precious blood, Lord. Jesus' blood continues to atone for future sins. And this is not to say that we can just go ahead and sin, people. A truly saved person won't have that attitude. Somebody that is truly saved will not try to have that attitude. But we can know that despite our very efforts, we are sinners and we will yet sin, but we don't have to get saved again. Do we need to confess it to God and make it right?
Yes.
If we sin?
Yes.
Do we need to do that? Right. Of course we do. And as we continue to walk through this life, we'll need daily foot washing, don't we? But praise God that one time all over bath secures us. If you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, the past, present, and future. 1 John 1:7 again. But if we walk in the light, did you hear that again? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. It keeps on cleansing us. Jesus' blood conquers all sin. There's no sin that God cannot conquer through the blood of the Lamb. I'm getting closer to done. I didn't even get hardly any. There's a lot in here about the blood that makes us victorious in our Christian walk. The appraisal, the blood is precious. The blood is precious. We love to sing, "Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The young people just walked in here. The young people that just walked in here. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus makes you clean. The blood of Jesus washes even your young hearts clean from things that you've done that are sin or bad. It's the blood of Jesus. When you go to Him and say, "Jesus, forgive me and wash me with the blood of the Lamb," Jesus' blood will wash you, young people. He will wash you clean. Young people need to hear that. They don't hear it in many churches today because they're too busy being entertained. But we want you to know that the blood of Jesus is something you need to cry out to. Yes. Peter used the term precious blood to describe the blood of Jesus. He said in 1 Peter 1:19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." God calls it precious. Who in the world does a pastor, evangelist, or missionary think they are to say we don't need to hear about the blood when God says it's precious? It's precious, all right. It's what cleanses me from all my sin. It washes me clean that one day it makes me righteous that I can stand before my Lord and my Savior and I can stand before Him clean and pure because of the blood of the Lamb. When God looks at me and you, if you're a Christian living for Jesus Christ, when He looks at you, He sees the blood. He sees the blood. When a person takes a son of God, everything God has is included, people. We become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Did you know that? Everything He owns, we own. The precious blood's made that possible. And in an aggression, the blood is protective. Speaking of the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread in Exodus chapter 12, 1 and 3. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron and in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." See, the blood was sprinkled on the doorposts of the Jewish homes, just as the Lord had instructed it to be done. The blood was given, which is the same word as strike in the Bible here, on the sides and above, but not underneath. You didn't read that in there, did you? Not underneath. Where it could be stepped on. Hebrews chapter 10, 29 says, "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye shall be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." not on the ground, but on the sides and above. The blood was to be applied. When the death angel came on that fateful night with the awful judgment of death to the firstborn, the Jews, they were protected by the blood. They were protected by the blood. See, it was actually their faith that brought the protection. They believed the word of the Lord was given to Moses. They believed it. They believed it. So they believed it enough to act upon it. Maybe that's what the church needs to do today, is listen and believe what the word of God says, so that the blood covering is there to protect them. There's many that walk out from underneath of the covenant, that blood covenant, and go back into a world that God has called them out of, and they live in filthy sin. And probably for whatever reason, some lose their lives early, get diseases that maybe they wouldn't have had if they've stayed under the blood of Jesus. They believed it enough to act on it. By following the directions just as the Lord instructed, they reaped a great benefit. You and I can reap great benefits if we obey the word of God according to what it says. God said in Exodus 12, 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Thank you for the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus over us today that protects us. We will speak of being under the blood. The judgment will not fall on those who have placed their faith in Christ and accepted Him as Lord and Savior. If you have not gotten under the protection of the blood of Jesus, I beg you to do now, before the death angel comes to your house. Don't leave earth without Jesus, people. You need the blood of Jesus. Gentlemen, you can start. Do you get the picture today about the blood? Vitally important to the Lord that we know about the blood. Can you see Christ's blood today? More importantly, can God see you? Can He see the blood over you? Hallelujah. And right now, before we partake, examine your own hearts right now where you are with the Lord. And if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in any area of your life, saying, "I've been rebellious and I've been not living according to what your word says, Father, and there's things that I'm very convicted of," you need to get it under the blood of Jesus and ask for forgiveness. If God doesn't see the blood over you people or over me, guess what He sees? He sees our sin, doesn't He? We need to make sure that we're covered. And I'm glad to tell you that only one application needs to be done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I know these aren't popular messages today, but they're messages that are vitally important for our eternal souls. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. We worship You, Lord, and we praise You, Father.